This morning's reading comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 24. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And in connection with this is also Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. We would have the reading, but you heard it and you saw it already acted out in the children's talk. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word for our hearts from eternity. And now we pray that you open our hearts for your word. Amen. The disciples were tense, difficult, and self-centered that evening. Yet it was one of the most difficult days in our Lord's history. There, in the upper room, it was the last evening for the Master to communicate with his team. These men would actually be responsible to take his message to the waiting world. Whether the gospel would ever come through or not depended on this little group of people. But what were they doing? Luke tells us a dispute arose among them as to who should be considered the most important. They were quarreling openly among themselves about importance, about positions. And with this, they had spoiled the whole atmosphere. Jesus, looking at them, he was not shocked, because he knew them. But he must have been very lonely. He knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. So the moment was urgent. And in spite of everything, he loved the 12. Yes, correct. 12, not 11. He would not be put off by their boasting minds, their desire to be chief. He knew too about Judas, the betrayal. When he said this, everyone realized, could it be I? Or who? I'm sure some of you have seen the picture of Leonardo da Vinci, The Last Supper, very large picture. If you come to Milan, you can see it. Very impressive. Da Vinci arranged the disciples in four groups, three each. And they discuss and pointing finger. So, the others that way. They knew actually what was possible deep in their hearts, that everyone could be this traitor. But nothing in their characters was going to put him off his course. He loved them to the last. He knew very exactly who he was himself, where he was going and what he wanted these fellows to be and to do. But how on earth could he communicate with men who are fighting among themselves for the highest position? I just want to stop for a moment and help us to think. What do we think is very typical of disciples of Jesus, of Christians? Do we think of obedient ministry, of commitment, or things like that? Well, that is all fine. But all this is not so special in a Christian's life. In that night of Passover, when Jesus' suffering began, all the disciples together failed completely. But still, they remained Jesus' disciples. The typical thing of the followers of Jesus is only this, and this makes them very special, that Jesus takes an apron and washes their dirty feet, dirt away. Er bindet sich eine Schürze und wäscht ihren Dreck ab. Fully aware of his own highest position in glory, Jesus rose from the supper table, and he had their attention immediately, because he was the guest of honor, and only a servant should get up from the table. Next, he took off his outer garment, and before they got over the shock of that, he took a long towel, wrapped it around himself, got a basin, and put water in it. The disciples looked on dumbfounded, sprachlos. Then Jesus said to them, to John, who was next to him, "Your feet, please." Feet? What a shock. Among the Jews, feet were the most unrespected, despised parts of the body. Only slaves touched the feet of others. We remember that in those days there were no tarmac roads. The ways were all dusty. And when they were walking, sweating, and then you can imagine with the dust on it, how the feet looked like. Again, Jesus' voice persisted. "Feet, please." John saw hands reaching out, the same hands which had healed cripples, which had calmed the storm and made the blind see. The hands of the eternal Son of God. "You mean they are going to touch my dirty feet, those blessed hands?" A sort of electric current was running through all of them. There was a hush, silence, and no more quarreling at all. As John reluctantly brought his feet to the fore, they remembered the task that someone of them should have done. As they entered the upper room, someone should have provided water for washing dirty feet. Sie wussten genau, das wäre der Job für einen von ihnen gewesen. But no one had been willing to do the slave's job when they all were occupied with their own greatness. Now the master had become the slave. "My feet, my Lord." It was a parable being acted out. What was really dirty were those quarrelsome hearts, but their feet spoke clearly to them on their hearts. John was washed, and Peter looked on fuming, aufgebracht. Then he came to Judas. Jesus washed not only John, his beloved disciple, but he knelt also before his betrayer and said to Judas, "Your feet, please." One after the other, he washed the dirty feet. Everyone was embarrassed. Ach, wie war das peinlich. Importance was forgotten. Fighting was ended. Now Peter, he objected, of course. Typical Peter. "Oh, no, no, no. How on earth can we allow our master to wash our dirty feet? This is terrible. Master, you shall never wash my feet." But Jesus said quietly, "Peter, you don't understand. If I don't wash your feet, you have no fellowship with me." What? What is the connection? How are you making so much your feet to wash them? I left my business as a fisherman. I left everything, even my family. I followed you for 3.5 years. And now, if you don't wash, everything is completely at an end? Yes, Peter. Only Jesus can wash your guilty conscience. You can't carry the good news on dirty feet. Only the Son of God can cleanse a defiled life. Then Peter, the enthusiast, turned completely around. "Lord, not feet only, my hands, my head, everything." But the master said, "No, no, Peter, you don't tell me where to wash. I know where to wash. Just let me wash where I want to. Next time, if it is your head, I'll do that. This time it's your feet, and they are very dirty." Let us move to the reality which Jesus, the wonderful teacher, was pre-enacting for them. He was giving them an insight into what would happen at Calvary. Many times he told them, "The Son of Man must suffer." But they did not understand. Jesus arose from the table in heaven, the place of honor with the Father, and left his glory. He stripped off his royal garment. We sing in the hymn by John Wesley, "He left the Father's throne above, emptied himself of all but love." Glorious as he was, he emptied himself. In his human body, he became a servant, a slave. A spear pierced his side. Out flowed blood and water. It was a very costly thing to cleanse your feet and mine as well. So he washed the 12, and you see how completely he changed the whole atmosphere. The 12 were melting inside now and were ashamed of their pride. Fellowship began because each saw the other as an equal. Jeder sah sich als Gleicher unter Gleichen. They all needed washing. Feet were dirty all around. Everyone seemed to be the same, in need of Jesus' washing. He sees us today, who are often tense, difficult, and self-centered. To every one of us, he kneels down and reaches out his hands, saying, "Your feet, please." He wants our feet of daily living. We get dirty on a walk, walking here and there, meeting people, shopping, finance problems. Yes, in all sorts of walking. He says, "If your feet are not cleansed by my blood and the water which flows from my side, no partnership is possible, no fellowship. You lovely church people would be all on your own." If the atmosphere is tense in our home, in our fellowship, in our places of work, just give me your feet. From then on, those men in the upper room were brothers, and their loyalty was Jesus. Now he was center. The evangelist Mark also gives us a report on this Last Supper. He says at the end of this meeting, they sang a hymn and went out. That was the end of the evening, not like the beginning. Can you imagine them singing when they entered the upper room, quarreling? Suppose somebody would have suggested, let's sing hymn number 285. They could hardly speak then, let alone sing it. But now, you see, something wonderful had happened. His love had broken down all barriers and selfishness. Words of love were coming out. And they began to sing a song. Soon Martin will invite us in Jesus' name to come forward to the communion table, to the Lord's Supper. Some may not like to come for one reason or another. I remember that some years back, the pastor of the German church in Nairobi had another commitment and he asked me to do the service, including communion. A lady who was a council member did not take part. And after the service, I talked to her and she told me that she did not feel fit for the communion. If you are a Christian and you know that something between you and the Lord is not okay, I would not recommend to remain seated, but I recommend to ask Jesus for forgiveness. This can happen in a short moment. And then come and enjoy fellowship with Jesus and the others. And then we sing a song together. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you served the 12 and washed their feet and cleansed their hearts. Thank you that you want to do the same with each one of us. Amen.